1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. For those of you that don't know, Sister Gwile is on our leadership team, and she's spending 89 days, in Greece as an aimer. And so that was her first message to us. Never been on an airplane, never been out of the country. She's already been to two countries. And I talk about getting exposure. Amen. The word of the Lord says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit like men, or persevere. Be a man up is what that means. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. New Living Translation says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything with love. CEV says, keep alert. Be firm in your faith. Stay brave and strong. Show love in everything you do. And I want to talk to you this evening on this thought. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. God bless you. You can be seated as you're in the presence of the Lord. This will be a sermon series, probably for sure one more lesson. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church in Corinthians. He wrote two letters. And when he's writing this letter, and particularly he's in Ephesus, and he writes this letter to the believers there, to the Corinthian church. And Corinth was, at the time of Paul's writing, at the time of this letter, you got to remember this is a long time ago. The city at that time was a city of 700,000, so it was bigger than about the size of Fresno, twice the size probably of Bakersfield, more than what we have in our county. Just put it that way. It was a big place. It was a cosmopolitan city. There was a lot going on. It had a seaport. There was lots of activity there. It was a place of ungodliness. Corinth was a place of lots of perversion. It was a place of lots of trade and commerce. There was activity that was there that would to be likened to a Corinthian would be like what we would say what happens in Vegas. Yeah, some of you have been there, right? So, but it was a gnarly place. It was a place of great revival. The church there had great revival. In fact, the Apostle Paul started this church, and he's writing these letters before he gets to Corinth. And as he's writing, he's in a place called Ephesus, and we've heard of Ephesus, and we've heard of the Ephesians. And so he's writing, and in fact we know this because in Acts 18:1 it says, after these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he continued there. Verse 11 says, a year and 6 months teaching the word of God. So he started the church there in Corinth. And some of you may not know this, but while Paul was in Corinth, he worked as a tent maker with a man, an Italian man, by the name of Aquila and his wife Priscilla. In Acts 18:3, it says, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for their occupation. There were tent makers. So if I can just drop an anchor here for a moment and just remind some of you here tonight that you and I are positioned to share the gospel wherever we are at. Amen. Some of you, God has called you to be missionaries to your neighborhood. Some of you are positioned, God has called you to be the influencers of the gospel on your jobs. At work is a great place to let the joy of the Lord be exemplified. You know, at first it used to be undercover because of my position and the person that I was that we would pray together in either my office or my business partner's office, and we would close the blinds at first in the beginning, because you know it was work time, and even though we were the boss, you know, sometimes the higher up you are, the more stones get thrown at you. But God just began to bless everything. It seemed like everything we touched and did, it just was blessed. Just amazing things took place. And we would pray every Monday together and read a word. And we did that my entire tenure working there with him. And it would begin to grow. Others, believers would hear that we would have a quick prayer and they would want to pray with us. Or I got invited to a large church in the Fresno area to speak at what we would call a men's gathering. It was large, a lot of men there, influencers, people in the community, and even till this day, if some of them call me and just want to know what's really going on with biblical prophecy and stuff like that, because God positions us at certain people and places and times so that we can have an impact. And so with everything going on, our light should be shining. Come on, somebody. Our light shouldn't be blending in. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Somebody say, "I believe." And some of you work with hundreds of people, and others just with a few. But regardless, you're positioned there to be a witness and let your light shine. So stand fast in your faith. Be courageous. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us," somebody say, "unto me, which are saved, it is the power of God." Listen, if they can brag about their sin-filled weekend, you can brag about your Jesus-filled weekend. If they can leave early on Friday because they're going to the club and they're going to Vegas, well, you can leave early because you're going to go to ladies' gathering and then stronger families on Saturday. So you got to get ready too. Yeah. Everybody wasn't a Christian in Corinth. It wasn't like Jerusalem. And in fact, the Corinthian church was mostly made of Gentiles. Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was not part of Acts chapter 2. He was not in the upper room. In fact, our introduction to the Apostle Paul was in Acts chapter 8 when he's persecuting the church, and then his conversion in Acts chapter 9. But Paul focused on the discipleship and spreading of the gospel. In fact, Romans 11:13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." And so the bigger the city, the bigger the revival. And the city was filled with much idolatry and much immorality. And Paul writes this straightforward letter from Ephesus, and he appeals to the church, listen to Pastor, to be united and to be of one accord. In fact, it's in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, "Now I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Can I drop another anchor right here for a moment? That in the church, and that in this church, and in the Apostolic Pentecostal church, we need unity, not division. The world divides. The world subtracts. In fact, the devil's math is division. He's the author of confusion. That's who he is. Sin separates. Sin is vindictive. Sin is jealous. Sin is hateful, and it's revengeful. But not the church. The church should not be any of that. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the church and us as believers, We are to be united. We are to be united one with the Lord, with another, so the Lord can add to the church. We need to be in one accord. We need to be a blessing one to another. In fact, it's in Hebrews 3 and 13. The writer says, but exhort one another daily. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's folks that they're just full of bad news. Bad news Brown, bad news Joe, whatever. But that ought not to be us. We ought to have some good news. Say, well, I'm weeping all night, but joy is coming at the end of the morning. Maybe that's your testimony. But encourage somebody. Encourage one another. Tell your neighbor, encourage me. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, edify one another. Apostle Paul's writing, this is important. He's writing to the believers of the Christians and how to live for the Lord in a corrupt society. To be known, I mentioned earlier, to be known as a Corinthian, I will use the word, it was likened to be someone of a debauchery type of character, something of excessive indulgence and sensual pleasures. And the Apostle Paul gets to the final chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he's letting the Christians there know. He says, watch ye, or keep alert. The first point I want to make tonight, got 2 points, is watch yourselves. That's what he's saying, watch yourselves. He's saying, be alert, be on guard, pay attention. In fact, he tells his son in the gospel, because the Apostle Paul was a disciple maker, he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, he says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, right? Everybody's got a YouTube channel. Everybody's got not everybody's got a TikTok, but somebody's on social media, etc. It's me, my, whatever. Covetous, boasters. God doesn't like braggers. He doesn't like proud people, blasphemers. Look at this one, kids. Disobedient to parents. Hey, you're going back to school. That means you got to not be disobedient to the teachers either. Can I get an amen? Amen. Unholy, unthankful. All the thankful people say amen. Amen. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Oh man, we see that everywhere right now. Incontent, fierce, not a cologne either. Despisers of those that are good. So there's going to be haters just because you're doing good. And having a form, or how about this one? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Can get up early to go on vacation, but can't get up early to pray in the morning, right? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Stand fast in the faith. Sin's rampant, we know that. It's being legalized, endorsed, promoted, but it's still sin. It's still sin. And it's not pleasing to God, and it shouldn't be pleasing to you either. If it's not okay with God, then it shouldn't be okay with you either. And we say, well, there's a lot of sin, Pastor. Yeah, and the bigger the sin, the more sins. But listen to this. The greater the sin, the greater the grace. Let's despise the sin, but let's allow the grace of God to operate. Come on, somebody. For where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Say, Pastor, you only knew what kind of sinner there were. Well, you know what? I may not, but he does. And he died on the cross once and for all. For God so loved the world that he gave. Come on. He's not used up all his grace. The devil's out to get you. Not just the IRS, the devil's out to get you. So watch yourself. He's not your friend. So watch yourself. He's your enemy. Also, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, Be sober. So no drinking. Be vigilant. But that really means to be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Notice this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Somebody say, stand fast. Watch yourself. Somebody say, watch yourself. You know you. If you don't know, now you know. Be careful. Little eyes, what you see. Watch. Be careful, little eyes, what you look at and entertain. John tells us in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Somebody say, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Listen, if you've got problems with certain websites, accounts, and it's a continual stumbling block for you, get rid of it. Amen. Delete it. Amen. Cancel it like a bad check. Get a flip phone if you've got to. Yeah. Hey, remember, we used to not have cell phones. We lived life without the internet. I don't know how, but we did. We didn't always have YouTube, and we lived, right? And we were productive. Job tells us in Job 31, he says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Some of us need to make a covenant with our eyes. Say, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will not put something and try to verify if it's wicked. If it's got an appearance of wickedness, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Amen. Somebody say, watch yourself. Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. How about just keeping your eyes on Jesus? Paul writes to Colossians 3:2, he says, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. If you're looking up, you don't have time to look around or look behind you to see what's going on. You're looking up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Watch how you communicate with people. Because there's just an offended mindset in the world. We used to have to worry about road rage. Now people just get offended. You took my parking. You didn't smile at me. You didn't shake my hand. Hey, stand fast in the faith. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you also put off of these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Some of you remember back in the old days. Well, we're streaming. You remember you knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that their parents would, you know, feed them soap if they talked a certain way. I know nobody here, but you knew somebody that knew somebody. You know, the survivors of the Chancla may know a little bit what about I'm talking about. But hey, we watch your feelings and your emotions. Those will get you in more trouble than you realize. I've seen more people quit church because they got offended. Nobody should have that much control over your relationship with God. Nobody is worth quitting church or living for God. Do you quit your job every time you get offended at work? Every time the boss or the coworker offends you? Do you not cash your check on Fridays? Oh, I'm not cashing this check. No. Don't show up for work for 2 weeks? No. Because someone didn't invite you to lunch? Just saying. Just watch it online. I'm preaching to you here tonight. But watch yourselves. Be on guard. Be vigilant against the wiles of the devil, the besetting sins. Stay armed with the shield of faith. Watch the pride. Right? Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction. So watch yourself. Be careful. Stand fast in the faith. Don't stand fast in sin or on yourself. Please don't lean on your own understanding. Please don't do that. But be constantly aware and watchful and alert of spiritual enemies that might try to slip in and try to bring you down. The snakes in the grass and the serpent, the subtleness of the serpent. We've got to be mindful. We've got to watch ourselves. We know what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible says he loves for God so loved the world that he gave. We know that he seeketh a worshiper, but he hates some things. There's some things that he hates that he despises. So watch yourself. Don't be what God hates, but be what God loves and what he's looking for. Right? Proverbs 6 and 16 tells us that he hates a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Come on, somebody. A heart, notice this, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, spiritual wickedness in high places. Feet that be swift into running the mischief. Right? People hear something, oh, I gotta go run and tell everybody. A false witness that speaketh lies. What is the language of the devil? Okay, just making sure we know that. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Troublemakers. ¿Cómo se dice troublemakers en español? Yes, some of you are getting that back. Remember, Grandma, Nana used to call you that, right? I'm just trying to raise the red flag tonight. I'm just trying to raise the flag tonight and say, hey, watch yourselves. We are living in the end times. We are in a time of revival and a time of harvest at Revival Tabernacle in the Santa Barbara County. We got to watch ourselves. Watch the lukewarmness. Be on guard against it, right? Revelation tells us that he doesn't like lukewarm. It makes him sick. Yeah. Don't put your spiritual sword down. Come on, somebody. Watch the curiosity of the carnal man. School's about to be in session, young people. You light a fire on that campus. Letting your light shine. Come on, somebody. Parents, routines may change. School's going to be back in session. We're going to pray for the kids on Sunday right at 11. We're going to pray for the kids. Everybody that's going to school, we're going to pray for them. Some of you worked so hard getting back into a good routine over the summer. Please don't go backwards. God doesn't change. You work so hard spiritually to build upon the summer with your relationship with the kids. Some have worked overtime. We jam-packed our schedule in the month of June and July at Revival Tabernacle for a purpose. I've learned some things as a pastor and through COVID, so I jam-packed the schedule in June and July and half of August for a reason. Could I tell you? It's because I wanted to make sure that we gave it all we got, all we had during the season when there was some. We all got the same amount of time every day, right? Everyone else around the world. But why our schedules were a little bit different. So the second point I want to make tonight is keep going. Keep it going. Keep the prayer time going. Keep it going. Paul writes and tells us in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. He's telling the people of God, just keep it going. Just keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Hey, listen, without prayer, you're not spiritually breathing. Prayer is essential. Romans 12 and 12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. If you can get the revelation of the significance of the power of prayer, you'll never miss a day of personal prayer in your life. Because it's like the breath that you breathe, that you breathe in. Prayer is so vital. It will change your life. So keep prayer going. Stand fast in the faith with an urgency to pray. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch." Somebody say, "Watch unto prayer." You know, prayer is, for the most part, is an untapped resource and many times unexplored outside the church. I would even go as far to say that it's talked about more than anything else, but practiced less than anything else. Yet it is one of the greatest blessings the Lord has given us. Things happen when we pray. But in order for those things to happen, we have to pray. So keep it going. Keep the faithfulness going. Somebody say faithful.
Faithful.
Listen, faithfulness is being stable, dependable, devoted. Anybody here want to know how to be blessed? Anybody want to know? Be faithful. Amen. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." That means he's going to have an abundance of blessings. You're faithful. You're faithful to God. You're faithful with your stewardship. You're faithful with your worship. You're faithful to your spouse. You're going to abound with blessings. Amen. Listen, God's not looking to be in competition with anybody or trying to dangle a spiritual carrot in front of you. God's expectation is real simple. Put me first. If you love me, keep my commandments. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Faithfulness will carry you when times change. Faithfulness will carry you when your husband quits or the society legalizes things that are obviously contrary to the word of God. Faithfulness will keep you when you're old and elderly and it's hard to get around, let alone get out of a chair. Yeah, faithfulness will keep you when people quit. When you're tired and weary. You ever wondered why some people are blessed? Because they're faithful. You ever wondered what and said to yourself, what makes them so special? They're faithful. It may be 5 minutes of prayer a day, but they're faithful with it. It may be one verse a day, but they're faithful with it. It may be $20 a week in the offering, but they're faithful with it. Just faithful. It's just faithful. They're faithful in their job. They're faithful with their kids. They're faithful in their ministries. They're faithful with their finances. They're faithful with whatever the Lord has put under their care. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. What if we gave all and everything we did, no matter what everyone else did or didn't do? What if we just made up our mind, I'm going to be faithful. Amen. I'm going to keep it going. I was faithful to prayer. I was faithful to my spouse. I was faithful in tithes and offering. I've been faithful to worship, and I'm going to keep it going. I'm just going to keep it going. Because we're going to hear those words someday if we're faithful. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. How about if we followed through? Showed up, gave, participated, read our Bible. What if we showed faithfulness when it really was a sacrifice? We sing a song. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. The Bible says, bring a sacrifice of praise, of worship. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What if we demonstrated faithfulness when it was uncomfortable, wasn't popular? It's out of our comfort zone. What if we demonstrated faithfulness when it required us to turn the other cheek, to forgive, to love without being loved in return? Guess what? That's faithfulness in action. But remember, somebody say remember. Colossians 3 and 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So keep it going. Keep the prayer going. Keep the faithfulness going. Because the apostolic church, the book of Acts church, the beginning of our doctrine tells us in Acts 2 and 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So keep the worship going. RT, we cannot miss any opportunity or opportunities we have to worship the Lord. Songwriter writes a song, to worship you I live. To worship you I live. I live to worship you. It's a cute song. But when you really break down the words and you're singing it, and the praise team or the organ or they're not there and it's just you and you're driving to work, can you worship the Lord? No matter the situation, can you worship the Lord? No matter the location, can you worship the Lord? No matter how you feel, can you worship the Lord? No matter who's worshiping, can you worship the Lord? Worship's not determined out of feeling, but it's out of a desire because of a revelation that we have of who he is. Come on, somebody. We worship him because of who he is. Praise is easy. The Bible says in Psalm 150 and 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But we can praise the Lord. We see that all through scriptures. But a worshiper is different. Says, I'm going to worship the Lord. I don't need music. I don't need an organ. I don't need a praise team. I don't even need to be at the church because I'm standing fast in my faith because I know the hour has come and now is the time the Father seeketh the worshiper and now is. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Would the worshipers worship the Lord here tonight? Somebody, let's worship the King of Kings. Let's keep it going. Let's worship. It's an honor to worship. It's a joy to worship. I worship the Lord because he's great, because he's worthy. I worship him because it's what he deserves. I ask us tonight, how many times have we become comfortable being at church but not worshiping the Lord? The Bible tells us in Psalm 29 and 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. Do we see it as an honor every time we wake up in the morning? Do we see it that truly is, that this is the day that the Lord has made? I will be glad and rejoice in it. It's an opportunity to worship the Lord. Song says, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. How many times as the musicians come, do we allow distractions or feelings to hinder our worship to the Lord? Hear me for a moment. What if we reached for God or responded to God like we reach or respond to our phones. Because it's addictive. What if we came into the presence of the Lord and we worshiped Him no matter what? Regardless. Regardless of how the day went, regardless of what tomorrow may bring, I'm going to worship the Lord because I know He holds tomorrow. So I'm going to keep worship going. I'm going to keep prayer going. I'm going to keep faithfulness going. And I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to make sure that I don't allow the deceitfulness of sin and the cares of this world and the lust for other things get in and cramp my worship and stop my faithfulness and limit my prayer. But no, as I get closer to the sound of the trumpet, I'm going to turn it up. If I was doing 10%, I'm going to do 20%. If I was at 50%, I'm going to do 60%. Because I want to hear those words. Well done. Well done. We stand here across the sanctuary. God is looking for faithful people. The world is looking for something that's going to change their life. You've got it. Somebody say, I've got it. I've got it. And you're worshipers. We've been called to worship. So you got to watch yourself. If it hinders you from worship, it'll hinder you from getting into heaven. If it hinders you from praying, it'll hinder you from getting into heaven. If it hinders you from getting to the house of God, it'll hinder you from getting into heaven. So stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. Come on, stand fast in the faith.